The Copywriter Club podcast is sponsored by AirStory, the writing platform for professional writers who want to get more done in half the time. Learn more at airstory.co/club.
What if you could hang out with seriously talented copywriters and other experts, ask them about their successes and failures, their work processes, and their habits, then steal an idea or two to inspire your own work? That's what Kira and I do every week at the Copywriter Club podcast.
You're invited to join the club for episode 35 as we chat with copywriter Misha Hetty about using social media in her copywriting business and what other writers could be doing better there, juggling her time as a parent, writer, photographer, and coach, how Facebook Live has impacted her business, and spending an afternoon taking photos of Rob and me in San Antonio.
Hello, Misha.
Hey guys, how are you?
We're great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm having a bit of a morning here, and I don't know if you can hear my dog in the background, but I apologize if you could.
So. We did hear a little bit, but I think we might be able to cut most of that out.
Okay, I'm sorry. She does. I swear to God, she's like, "Oh, you're on a call. Let me go freak out about something."
It's okay. I think it's been one of those days for all three of us, which means this is going to be a great conversation.
Exactly. Yes.
So Misha, let's start with, you know, where you came from, because you are this like multi-talented creative with, you know, a big personality, and you've played a really big role in the Copywriter Club. So like, where did you come from? What were you doing before you were in the club as a copywriter?
Well, Kira, when a man and a woman love each other very, very much. Okay. JK, terrible, terrible joke. So where did I come from? I used to be a 9-to-5er like most people. And one day I lost my job and I was like, got to figure this out. It's actually a longer story than that, but that's, you know, the gist of it. And in that last position, I had been using a lot of social media tools to kind of grow people's knowledge of our gallery. It was a tile gallery. This was like way back in the day when Flickr was like the hottest thing around, to grow people's knowledge of our gallery. And at the same time, I was studying photography more. So that is basically the short story of how I became an entrepreneur, because it's not a very poetic story, but it's the truth.
Walk us through the step by step. So you lost your job and then suddenly you weren't, you know, a writer, photographer, whatever, you know, as far as setting up your business. Tell us more about that process.
Oh no, it was literally that next day. No, just kidding. See the underbelly of the story is that I was 5 months pregnant and they closed the showroom that I was working in. And I, as a dude, you don't know this, but when you are 5 months pregnant, like visibly pregnant, no one wants to hire you, like with a 10-foot pole. So I was in this position of, I need to make money for my family and no one wants to hire me. So what am I going to do? And it took some time to figure it out because I was afraid to make that leap from steady paycheck to working for myself. And I thank the great state of Texas for the, juicy unemployment checks. That was very helpful at the time. Literally the day I was in labor with my daughter, I bought my first domain name and I went from there. I figured it out, threw together some pricing packages for photography and started taking clients as soon as my daughter was about 6 weeks old.
So you started with photography and yeah. Then how did you make your way into the copywriting world and really kind of specialize as, you know, a communicator, a strategic communicator?
I wish I had really cool stories about this. I wish there was like some sort of like movie moment where people were chanting my name or something like that. But I actually moved. At the time that I was a photographer, I built myself up from my first client paying me like $175 to, you know, regularly selling packages that were $2,400 and above. And then I moved from Texas to California. And the problem with that is when you are a local service provider, you have to have a local clientele. So when I moved, I had no one and nothing. And so I spent that time blogging about photography and how to improve your photography business. And yeah, people started hiring me for my opinion because they're like, well, you grew your business in, you know, under a year from, like I said, $175 to $2,400 per client. How can we do that too? So that is when I started offering communications coaching and copywriting services. It was like a totally organic thing because that's what my people were asking me for.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, even when I go to your website, it's photography based, but, you know, I know you as a writer because you're showing up in our group as a writer. So do you start sort of with the photo products and then people, you know, ask you for help with the writing? Or do you actually have a way that you approach clients for copywriting as well?
Now it's morphed into something where I keep the two completely separate. The photo business is, it is its own animal. And then the copywriting is my main jam. Basically, I decided if I didn't have to leave my house ever, that would be better. So it's like, I could write for anyone in the world at any time of day and not have to worry about rain or, you know, bugs. Like you guys got to experience some of our Texas bugs the other day. When I approach a copywriting client, it's from a copywriting standpoint only. I will occasionally, like, let's say it's a communications strategy client, I will say, you know what, the images on your site are, you know, they're kind of problematic because it doesn't fit your aesthetic or whatever. So I do offer a side dish of that, but the copywriting is my main jam, if you will.
Okay. And because you mentioned it, can you just share the breakdown of your services under the copy communications side or arm of your business, just to give us some context as to like what you're putting out there in the world and how you're making money?
So I know I'm supposed to niche down and I'm supposed to have a very specific answer for this, but yeah, I don't do that. I do web and sales copy. I do specifically when people are in the, you know, second or third iteration of their business and they just, it's not quite right. I help them create a strategy for portraying themselves. And that if sometimes that looks like web copy and we redo their website, and sometimes that looks like sales copy and we sell their program. And sometimes it looks like both because they just don't know how to express what it is that they sell. So I would say my main thing that I offer is copy with strategy.
I started looking at some of the images on your website and I'm really hungry now. Like your website has this total food vibe and it's showing off so many of your photography skills in addition to, you know, how you help, you know, people with copywriting. So, but yeah, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, the typical project for you. You know, when a customer comes to you for help with copywriting, what's the onboarding process look like? How do you figure out what you're going to do with them? You know, let's just talk about that whole process of getting to know the customer and producing work for them.
You know, my process is, it's very organic. It's not very contrived. I don't have like a lot of documents for people to fill out or anything. But because of that, I spend a lot of time talking with them directly. So that's a lot of phone calls, a lot of Skype, a lot of note taking on my part. And what I'm doing when we have that conversation is I'm not just saying, tell me about your program, tell me about your business. I'm saying, so tell me how you met your husband. And, you know, when you guys were in Argentina, like, what did you think about the culture? I ask them questions that have nothing to do with their program or business, because I want to hear the actual cadence of their voice. I want to hear their personality, because to me, it's very important to be able to portray that in their copy. I feel like if you have someone that you're looking to hire and they're, let's say their website's very hyper and very out there and very in your face, and then you get them on the phone and they're like, hey, sup? Like, that creates a serious mismatch. And when there's that moment of confusion for the client, they're not going to get hired. So I spend most of my time talking to them about stuff that has nothing to do with their business. And then I produce their copy for them. And we have another meeting. And if they're happy, then they go forward. And if they're not, we get a revision. And then that's that. Like I said, it's very lo-fi.
Cool. Well, and so it seems like you have a way of, you know, branding comes naturally to you. And it's a big part of what you do as a photographer and with all of your businesses. So can you just speak to like the importance of branding as a copywriter? Because there's so many of us and, you know, we can all look the same at different times. And, you know, we're all kind of competing for similar jobs. So how do we stand out? I know that's a question that has popped into the club a lot. And from your experience, you know, how have you stood out?
Well, the one thing I did, this is just how I've always been. When you grow up a nerd, you have certain characteristics that are just with you for life, right? And I always decided, you know, growing up, it was like, well, I'll never be that cheerleader type. So I'm just going to do what I want to do and people can like it or not like it. So when it came time to make my copywriting website, I know you're supposed to have photos of like your pretty desk and your you know, a vase full of tulips or something like that. Especially if you're trying to appeal to a female aesthetic. But I was like, you know what? No, I want to do this differently. I want to do something fun that makes people excited and happy. And so my photographer and I actually came up with the concept of, I don't know if you've seen it, it's on, I think, my about page, but the concept of he's like, so what is it that you do? And I said, okay, well, I take the boring and I make it fun and interesting. That's when we came up with the concept of me taking plain donuts and painting them purple. Mm. Yeah. So that, and then that concept grew from there. Like, what do you, when you're sitting at your desk, do you want to look at somebody else's desk or do you want to look at some delicious treats? So I just mined my existing body of work. And that's how I came up with the concept that exists right now. But for somebody else, that won't work. And if you try to copy somebody else's aesthetic, it will absolutely fall flat for you and people will smell it a mile away, right? So as a copywriter, when it comes time to create your own brand, I would basically, you can make a big Pinterest board, you can make a vision board, you can take notes, whatever. But you want to consider your own actual personality, your image, your experience, what is different about you. That's a great question that I like to ask my clients too, my copywriting clients. When I'm interviewing them, I say, who is your closest competitor and how are you different and better? And then we focus on that. I don't think enough people do that. I think enough, so many people just rush to the table and think, oh, well, I offer the same as you know, Joe Blow, so I'm going to make my site the same as theirs. And then they don't stand apart and no one wants to buy from them.
So Misha, you mentioned your about page, which has got this killer photo at the top, but you also mentioned on there that you are the friendly neighborhood brand story evangelist. And there's a funny story that we need to ask you about that. So I'm asking, tell us the story.
Yeah. Okay. It's actually, it's not that good of a story. I kind of oversold it, I admit, but, so when I came up with this website, I literally sat down and wrote the copy for the entire site in one afternoon. I was stuck on, what do I want to call myself? Because I feel like I'm more than just a copywriter. I feel like when you give yourself just that label of one thing, people don't really fully understand what it is that you bring to the table. So there's this thing called the Silicon Valley title generator. And I went to the website and I clicked the button and that was the first one that came up and I was like, boom, that's my title.
It's like the stripper name and your yes, Hogwarts exactly. name and all those kinds of things. Yeah,
exactly. So I'm a brand story evangelist. And I was like, this fit perfectly. I'm going to go ahead and take this as like a divine message from the universe that I should be a brand story evangelist.
Well, on your Facebook Live videos, you say that you're the friendly, how do you introduce yourself?
You say
the friendly neighborhood copy. No, what do you say there?
I am your favorite communication strategist. Yeah.
I like it though, because you're consistent. At least every video I've seen, you are consistent with your intro and you really have your Facebook Live down. And I mean, that's what caught my attention early on with you, because I have not seen many copywriters really use Facebook Live. I mean, definitely some of us dabble in it, but you're consistent. And so are you going live every single day at this point?
I had a good run of like 90 days in a row where I went live every single day. And then I sort of fell apart a little bit, but I'm coming back, baby. I'm coming back.
So with that, there's a ton of questions, but I think a good place to start for people who have not jumped into the Facebook Live world, do you have any advice on just kind of simplifying it so it doesn't seem so daunting and overwhelming to people who have not gone live before?
Absolutely. So the number one thing that they're afraid of is looking foolish, I'm guessing. And first of all, just go ahead and let go of that, because you might look foolish. Oh, well, you can always delete the live. You have to go ahead and mentally lower the stakes for yourself, because the odds that, who is the person you want to impress most in the world? Like, Kira, who do you want to impress more than anybody?
Rob.
Okay. What are the odds that Rob is so going to be on
true.
Facebook? What? It's good enough. What are the odds that he's going to be sitting there watching your Facebook Live and watch the entire thing and sit there in judgment of you? The odds are very, very slim, right? If you just get started and make your first one, I'm going to tell you right now, it's probably going to suck. And that's okay, because you can always delete it. It takes, in my experience, so when I started the whole Facebook Live experiment last year, when Facebook Live came out, I decided I was going to have other people come along on the ride with me. So I started a Facebook group and we went live every day. It's actually just a video group, because I didn't want people to have that hanging over their head, the live thing. The live thing, some people will get on video, but they won't go live. And I think it's because they're afraid that, I don't know, that anything could happen. Well, I've done over 100 Facebook Lives and not very much happens. Sometimes my dog barks, but beyond that, the roof never caved in. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, I noticed a trend. When people got to about 25 Facebook Lives, they were pretty darn good. And that was pretty consistently across the board. People were you know, on the first one, they were like, hey, this is so-and-so. And I created a framework for the people in that group. All you need to do is create your introduction, share a piece of content, and then create a great call to action. And once they had that framework to work from, they were able to get better really quickly.
Yeah, let's dive into this, because Kira and I have talked several times about, you know, we need to be doing more video, whether we do, you know, YouTube or Facebook. So obviously we need to just start doing it is the first step. But is there an optimal length of video? You know, are there backgrounds that we should be doing to be doing things differently? Are there things we should be doing with copy on the video itself?
So like most things in the copywriting world, the answer is it depends. And you want to think about the goal of each piece of content. If you just want people to see your face, hear your voice, and get used to you and get to know you, because of course, once they know you, they will like you, trust you, and pay you. If that's your only goal, then no, there is no optimal length. My videos are as long as it takes to teach whatever concept I'm teaching that day. However, if you are playing by YouTube's rules, you want your watch time to be 3 minutes, about 3 minutes, because any longer than that, your viewership falls off and YouTube starts punishing you, so you won't get to rank as much. So that's those. In terms of other best practices, I have noticed that my posts with long introductory text get more response on the post, but the video gets more response on the video if I just add a sentence or two, like today we're talking about how to raise your rates. Come and listen. Again, it just depends on the goal of each piece of content and what it is you're trying to accomplish.
What drives you crazy because you've watched other people's Facebook lives? What kind of drives you crazy because we all do it and it's just obnoxious or not professional or whatever, just something that we can correct and be aware of?
Sure. I am not super duper interested in like being really professional. I think you guys could tell that from the day.
Well, I was going to say that, but as I said that, maybe professional isn't the right word, because the whole point is that it's not professional, right? It's not polished video. It's like live and rough.
Exactly. And that's part of the beauty of it, is that they can interact with you. It's live. Anything could happen, even though it won't. So that's part of the excitement of Facebook Live. But one thing that I really don't like is when you have to understand, every piece of content you put out is made with the intention of establishing a relationship with your audience. You're not just Facebook living in a vacuum. And if you are, that's great, but like, get a better hobby, right? When you disrespect your audience and you make your topic like meander, or you start telling a random story that has nothing to do with it and you never come back, that is to me the biggest sin you can because how many whacks of the pinata do you think you get with your audience? If they watch two videos and they both are boring and they don't get what it is they're looking for, they're not coming back for more, right?
And that's probably why a lot of people don't do it.
I think, though, that it's, and of course, I can say this because I'm on the other side of having done it. If you just create that small framework, like let's say, what's your favorite topic to talk about, Rob?
Copy, I guess. You know, at least as far as this show goes, copy. I like cycling, you know, a couple of other hobbies like reading, but let's say copy.
So, okay, we'll say copy. So let's say you wanted to connect with your audience and educate your audience, because I think there are only 4 or 5 main goals for each piece of content. But let's say you decided today you wanted to connect and educate on the topic of copy. Well, what are the top 3 things that your audience needs to know, your ideal client needs to know about, you know, hiring you for copy, let's say?
They probably need to know that I'm competent, that I'm going to perform well, and that I'm going to get their customer so that, you know, what we create is going to convert.
Perfect. So that is your entire video script. You've got your introduction. Hey guys, this is Rob and I'm the copywriter that XYZ. And today I want to tell you about why I excel at providing you with copy. Here are, you know, the 3 reasons why. All right. Thanks so much for checking out this video. Go ahead and, you know, like my Facebook page or share, you only get one CTA, share it with people who might need to know an awesome copywriter. So that's your entire script. When you've got that bare bones written out, stick to it and then finish your video and get the heck off.
So how do you plan out your content, especially when you were doing 90 days in a row? Did you map it out ahead of time, or were you just like the day of, you know, I want to talk about this today, I'm just going to jump in and do it?
So sometimes I wing it and sometimes I have a goal that I'm working towards. What I do to plan my year is I've deemed it the big rock method, where I say, okay, I want to host, you know, a live get together in May. I want to open my communications academy in July or whatever it is. And I notate these on the calendar and then I move backwards from there. So let's say I was making a class on Facebook Live. I would say, okay, for the 2 weeks preceding that, I will talk about Facebook, you know, what you can accomplish with Facebook Live, what you can learn in this class for those 2 weeks. But other than that, yeah, I just wing it. Sometimes I just get mad and then make a Facebook Live about whatever has made me mad.
And Misha, is it easy to, I'm asking this because we haven't done Facebook Live, but is it easy to say, do a Facebook Live and then transfer that to YouTube? Or would you say that they're really different venues and that we ought to be doing slightly different content for both?
You can actually do that, and it's not a problem. You just have to be really smart about your intro and your call to action because you want the content to appear native. So write it in such a way that's not like, hey, Facebook fans, how are you? Please click like, because obviously on YouTube, or please, you know, follow my page. On YouTube, you would want to say subscribe. You could find a synonym that bridges both, then reuse that content, repurpose that content.
And what have you found is the impact on your business? Like, are you getting clients and you know it's through Facebook Live, or are you still just kind of building the community and you're cool with not necessarily pulling in clients from that channel at this point?
No, I get direct clients from Facebook Live. One of my most successful ones was 5 things I learned at dog training. And I literally just talked about, you know, one call to action, because people will, if you give them too many things to do, they won't pay attention. You want to remain in constant contact. Basically, the lessons that I learned at a place called Sit Means Sit, which was the person that I hired to train my dog.
This is the dog that keeps barking in the background, right?
She's a semi-trained dog of average intelligence. But yeah, she's not wearing her collar today. She's got, so it was all my, this is all my fault. This is a me problem, not a Len problem. But anyways, yes. Yeah, so I played that video. I tagged the company in it, and I have gotten actually quite a few coaching clients who said, oh my gosh, you have explained that so well. We want to hire you as communication coach. I'm like, okay, yes, let's do it. Beyond that, let's see what else. I've gotten so many, pretty much all of my Facebook page likes are from Facebook Live. I know it's not a huge metric to worry about anymore, page likes, because you can advertise way beyond the page like, but that's still pretty cool to make a video and have people like you because of it, right?
Yeah, and I feel like we're ping-ponging back and forth here with Kira and I, but there's so much stuff here that I want to learn and that feels really good. If we were going to hire you as a producer for the Copywriter Club, Facebook Live, put Kira and I on screen to, you know, make us look good, aside from the just do it and scripting us out, anything else that you would say, Rob, Kira, you guys got to do this?
Prepare for audience interaction and welcome that interaction. A lot of Facebook Live people ignore the comment section, but to me, that's gold. That's where the interaction, although I got my first negative comment the other day.
And what? It's
the funniest thing. Yes, it was so funny. He said, well, if you say it is so, then it must be, huh? And then he called me a D-bag. I was like, yeah, it's my Facebook page. So yes, if I say it so, yes, it is so.
Interesting.
Yeah. And you know what? That's another thing. I guess prepare for the negative comments, right, but don't really worry about them. That was the first time a total stranger had ever called me a name. So I feel like an achievement was unlocked that day.
How did you play it off from that
comment? Oh, you know, I didn't even see the comments. But I didn't read it. And then my friend, my biz bestie, it went total pit bull on him and was like chewing him out. And so I did see it then. And I just laughed because I was like, this is hilarious to me. I don't know you at all. You're not my ideal client. I have zero care about what it is you're saying. But, you know, thanks for your opinion. And then eventually, like after like a half an hour of laughing at it, I deleted the comment because you don't come to my house and poop on my table.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to leave it there. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Well, what type of audience interaction? I know the videos I've seen of you, you really are good at welcoming people and not only just saying their name, but like you really give them a warm welcome and you're really good about it. And so what should we do that's just kind of like, again, welcoming someone into your house, you say hi to them. But I've also been on Facebook Lives where it can get a little bit obnoxious when the presenter is just so distracted by the comment section. So like, what's the right balance there?
I think the saying hi is great, especially if they make a comment that is salient to the material. That's really excellent interaction. So you want to praise them for that and keep them coming back for more. But when you've got that script, that skeleton written, you can keep coming back to it, because sometimes people do get distracted and they totally lose the point of what it was they're trying to say. It's happened to me. Yeah. Keep coming back to your skeleton script. And like I said, just thank them for their comment and move on. I love my people. I hate to say this because it sounds so cheeseball, but I really, truly love and appreciate my audience members. So to me, it's more than just, you know, oh, hey, Amy, oh, hey, Kristen, or whatever. It's really like a visit from a friend.
We've got to figure this stuff out, Kira. We're going to be showing up in our Facebook group live.
Well, you guys so should. You're adorable, both of you.
Well, I was just thinking, so for our club, it's great because we already have a big room of people to speak to. So I'm more incentivized to like speak in there. But if a copywriter is listening who maybe hasn't built out the likes on their Facebook page, maybe they have 10 people, it just seems like it's hard to go live to 10 people because you know no one's, maybe you'll get one person in there. Or does it not work that way?
You can always, when you are live at the time, first of all, a lot of people want that anonymity at the start so that they can make sure that they're finally comfortable with it. So it's actually kind of a good thing if you don't have a huge audience, because you don't have a lot of people you can screw up in front of. I'll talk more about that in a second.
Just your mom,
right? And my mom sees me, she's seen me screw up for 30 something years, so it's fine. But you can also share it to your personal page. And if you're not using your personal page, if your friends and relatives don't know that you're a writer, like, what are you even doing, dude? You can share it to your personal page just to increase your audience. And then after it's over, you can boost that post. And that is what I do almost every single time.
And that's paid advertising, right?
Yes.
I feel like we need a whole show just about boosting posts on Facebook, because I'm like, boosting a post, what is that? I mean, I'm aware of it, but yeah. I also have heard like boosting your post doesn't work. So anyway, I think that's another tangent that we won't necessarily go down right now. I would just like to ask you, you know, you also have a really strong brand on other social media channels, not just Facebook Live. So for the copywriter who gets a bit overwhelmed by all the social media channels and everything we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to show up, you know, what would you say to them so that they can really focus and use it strategically like you have to get clients and not just, you know, waste their time?
Well, thank you. Thank you for that compliment embedded in there. I would say go back to your ideal client exercise and really work through that. Who is that person? What is their business? Who is it that you want to work with? And if you don't know the answer to that, you're going to wade through a whole lot of crap before you get to good people. So go to that ideal client exercise and figure out who it is do you want to work with and where do they hang out? Like if it's a businessman who is, I don't know, let's say he's a financial analyst. He's probably not hanging out on Instagram, right? Chances are good he's more interested in LinkedIn and possibly Twitter. So those are the avenues that I would concentrate on. Let's say you really want to attract, I don't know, someone who sells to homeschoolers. Then you might focus on somewhere like Pinterest, like really build out your blog posts and rock Pinterest. Basically, it's like going fishing. You just have to decide where those fish are, and then you go to those fishing holes and keep working until you're excellent at those fishing holes.
So Misha, I want to ask, because we teased this in the intro, a question that keeps coming up in the Copywriter Club all the time. So we're shifting gears just a little bit here. But people ask, how can I balance writing with I'm about to have a baby or, you know, other things that are going on in their lives? And you're a parent. You not only do you do parenting, but you're a writer, you're a photographer, you're doing business coaching. Like, how do you balance it all? What are the tricks that you're using to get it all done every day?
Okay, balance is bullshit. That is my mantra. Balance is bullshit. It's more like a juggling act, but that's okay. First of all, if you just realize that that's how life is. A lot of people feel unhappy because they feel unsettled. Like, oh my God, my kid screwed up my writing time. Now I got to change it up and I'm so upset. Well, you know what, dude? That's the way that it is. You got to ride the wave as it's coming to you. You can't just sit there and ignore them as they pass you by. As a parent, I am probably not winning any parental awards because I make my kids, like, let's say summer's coming up. And I know a lot of people who work at home are like, what am I going to do? How am I going to continue to rock my business during the summer? And the answer is you create a framework for your kids and you expect them to stick with it. And it's the same thing for yourself. Like, I make it a habit to get to the gym three times a week. The only way I can do that is if I say this is my habit. When I am picking up and putting down my different business hats, I simply live and die by my calendar. I say no to things regularly, and I'm happy to surf the wave.
So you're telling me that there's no easy solution.
<Mm-mm>. No, the easy solution is to stop giving so much of a shit about it. Like, I don't know. I know there are some people who are so very, very rigid. I think that it's the most unhappy way to live. I don't know. Just realize that there is no easy solution and embrace that. Drink a lot of coffee, and then at 5 o'clock, you know, cocktail.
I like it. I can do that.
Yes, easy to follow. Sorry, Rob.
Yeah, I'll have a Coke Zero. I can make that work. Yeah, but yeah. I love what you're saying though about that. I agree. In fact, I think Joanna Weeb maybe shared that, you know, Todd Herman told her that balance is for average people, and that, you know, if you really want something to work out, you've got to go out after it, you know, full steam ahead. And so if you want to be a good parent, you've got to put a ton of time into it. And if you want to be a good writer, you've got to put a ton of time into that. And that might mean that there's not a lot of space for anything else.
You know what? That's a really good point. I don't really watch very much television. I know people who are like, oh God, did you see 13 Reasons Why? No, dude, I'm spending my time working with my kids at the gym, or that's it. And because those are the things that make me happy, and that's okay. I don't mind missing out on the stuff I don't like for the stuff that I love.
No, that's true. I mean, the sacrifice comes in somewhere, and it could be something that you just don't really care that much about, like TV shows or whatever it could be. For some people, it could be the gym. Like, they just, it's not their thing. They don't get energized there.
Exactly.
Okay. So I know we're, you know, going to wrap this conversation, but I want to ask you, you've been in the club, you're active in the conversations. There are a lot of new copywriters that are just getting into the scene, and, you know, they have a lot of questions, and I know you're usually like in there helping them. So what advice would you give them? Like, that new copywriter who's just trying to figure it out, you know, may feel a little bit desperate and is seeking some guidance, you know, what tip would you give them based off what you did, or maybe what you didn't do, but you know, kind of wish you had done?
I would probably say this is the hardest thing to do, but be confident. Be confident in your abilities. If this is something that you really want, and, you know, maybe not just your mom has told you you're good at writing, but other people too, if you've actively gotten results, absolutely have the confidence to move forward. If you haven't ever written a single word of copy, you're going to have to go through that point to get to the confident point. Be confident and fail forward and fail fast.
This has been an awesome interview. We spent some time with you, Misha, last week, you know, doing photos, and what we saw so far has been a lot of fun. You've made even me look good, which is,
I think you have a great smile. Yeah. Tell your wife I said that, because she's going to get mad.
Yeah, we just did some family photos the other day with extended family, and I was trying my hardest to smile. I was like, hey. Hopefully I did okay, but you know, they were looking good. People want to find you for, I'm sure, more than photography. If they're looking for you online, how are they going to find you?
You can find me at uncommonlygoodbiz.com, or my Facebook page is obviously facebook.com/uncommonlygoodbiz. And that is probably where you can see, if you're just in love with the sound of my voice, that's where you want to go, because that's where I do my Facebook lives.
And some of us like your pink hair as well. So there's that.
That's always changing. I got to keep my audience guessing. I got to keep them entertained, right?
Yeah. And Misha, it was great to meet you in Texas. And I think that, you know, you're such a creative person. And the reason we wanted to bring you on the show is just because you are, like, not only are you a great writer, but you're taking photos, and not even just taking photos, but they're branded and they're quirky and fun. And so anyway, it was like so good to meet you in Texas, and made the whole trip. You and Rob and some of the other copywriters made the whole trip worth it.
It was a really good conference, and meeting you guys, honestly, if you hadn't been going to CXL, I don't think I would have. It didn't have as much charm without you two. So
that's nice of you to say.
This is turning into a love fest.
I know, right?
Everyone's like, okay, we're done.
So
anyway, thank you for being a part of the club and community and on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Misha.
Thank you guys. Thank you guys for allowing me into your cool kid club, for real.
We're glad you're there.
Awesome.
Before we end the podcast, we just want to tell you about our sponsor, AirStory. AirStory is an application designed to help you write faster, and it does a few things really well. It makes collaborating with others on your team easier. So if you work with clients or other team members on projects, you'll love the way that you can interact within your project documents. But there are two things that we really like about AirStory that you won't get with Word or Google Docs. The first is the way that it lets you organize information into cards. If you refer to research or other information when writing blog posts or websites or sales pages, you'll love the way that you can organize bits of information or entire articles into a card file that you can then drag and drop into your document. And if you do your research online, AirStory's Chrome extension lets you cut and save information directly into AirStory. It's pretty cool. Plus, AirStory has a library of templates that you can use on different projects. So let's say that you've been hired to write a sales page or an email sequence and you don't have any experience or you want additional inspiration for the project. You can go into the template library, find a template for what you're working on, and use it to start your document. Maybe best of all, you can try it now for free. In fact, one project at AirStory is always free. If you're a professional writer, there's so much here that can help you. Check it out at airstory.co/club. You've been listening to the Copywriter Club podcast with Kira Hugg and Rob Marsh. Music for the show is a clip from Gravity by Whitest Boy Alive, available in iTunes. If you like what you've heard, you can help us spread the word by subscribing in iTunes and by leaving a review. For show notes, a full transcript, and links to our free Facebook community, visit thecopywriterclub.com. We'll see you next episode.